Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
You know what? If you came in here expecting anything from God, stick around. Ask Him for it. He's here. Reach out and grab it. God gives us freely. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came specifically to set the captives free and to open up blind eyes. And sometimes we need our eyes open because we don't see things clearly, or we see things through our own paradigm. I'm praying that God opens up blind eyes. And there's some captives that are going to be set free here today. You cannot come into the house of miracles, God's house, and not be touched by the power of His Holy Spirit. Because this is God's house. This ain't our house. I mean, we share in it, but it is God's house. And you know why people were set free on Friday? And why probably this morning some chains were broken too? It's because they pushed through. They didn't give up. They didn't quit. They didn't quit when it started getting a little weird, or maybe they started feeling some kind of weird way. They didn't quit. They pushed through. They pushed through until they got what they came for. Right? And you know, some people are just like that. Right? Some people just like that. They don't give up when things get hard. And you know why? It's because they have grit. Grit. And grit is something that's developed in the hard seasons. You know what? Let me pray before I get started up in here. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You that we still live in a country where we can come here and gather together freely without worrying that somebody's going to break down the doors and arrest us. Thank You for that privilege, Lord. Thank You for planting us in a nation where we are free to worship You with all our hearts. We love You, Lord. I thank You for Your presence. Father, I thank You that You've been tilling the soil already and that hearts are prepared to receive Your word. So, Father, I ask You to speak through me. Get me out of the way. I surrender my mind, my will, my emotions, and even the words that I've prepared, Father. I surrender it all to You. And the breath in my lungs, it all came from You anyway. I surrender it to You, Lord. And I ask You to have Your way. And change us all from the inside out through the power of Your Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our liberator, our provider, our healer, our Messiah, our Savior, we pray these things. Amen. 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 Yes. You know, the other day I was thinking about, you know, me and my brother. My brother passed away a few years ago, and he was wild. I'm talking about deep East Texas wild. That man was wild. Okay, he could hit a bullseye. I mean, across a football field, he was wild. Anyway, I was thinking about him and me and what life was like when we were kids. We grew up in the 60s, okay? I'm a child of the 60s, peace. Anyway, and we grew up in a part of North Houston that was still kind of country. You know, it was kind of country, that you can believe that. You know, in the area we lived in, which is actually funny because it became Greens Point. And if you're from Houston, you know that Greens Point is the same thing as Guns Point. It's super ghetto. But anyway, back in the day, it was country, right? The neighborhood we lived in had all these trees, right? Had these big vacant lots and big trees. And at the end of both ends of our street, there were these two giant oak trees, right? And my brother, little feral self, and me tagging right behind him, he was always ripping and running in the woods by our house. I mean, he and I would take off and disappear for hours. And our parents weren't even looking for us, okay? They were like, well, they'll be all right. You know, they're going to be fine. I mean, I don't think that they were even worried that anybody would kidnap us. It was a different time back then. So me and my brother, we take off. Well, and this is how I learned to climb a tree, because he would get up in the tree and throw stuff at me until I tried to climb up in the tree. But I remember one time he was up in the tree at one end of our street. And actually, let me go back and say this. When I talk about my parents, the only thing I think they were worried about is that we were going to tear up something or that we were going to get a broken bone of some kind. Right. That's about it. That's about their biggest concern about us, right? Well, my brother was up in this tree one day, and he was antagonizing me. You come on. He was calling me all these names. I can't even say them in church. But anyway, he was telling me, come on, man, come on. And I don't know what happened. It might have been God. I don't know. But boom, he came falling out of that tree. I was like, oops. And I ran home. You know what? I don't think he got hurt because my parents didn't take him to the hospital. I mean, unless there was a broken bone or some blood, shake it off. Yikes. Get up. It's all good. We didn't go to the doctor. Right. And, you know, I think what they were trying to... Actually, I asked my mom years later. I said, Mom, why were y'all like that with us? Why were y'all... Y'all just seemed so unconcerned, right? And she told me, she said, hey, we were trying to toughen y'all up. Y'all needed to go through some stuff so you can toughen up. Build a little character. So that when you're grown, you're not going to pout about stuff when you don't get your way. You're not going to blame people. You're not going to quit when things get hard. Right. And you know what? It worked. Yeah. It worked. I don't give up when things get hard. As a matter of fact, I'm always telling Pastor Bob, no is not an option, babe. No is not an answer. There's always a yes. Where is it? Let's find the yes. Come on. And you know, if there's a problem, I don't get weird about it. I just go straight to work trying to solve the problem because we're going to solve the problem. And if it can't be solved, then I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to say, hey, what could I have done different to avoid that in the first place? Where did I go wrong? And I think I'm like that partly because my parents raised me not to be okay with no and not to be okay with failure and not to quit.
That's right.
And the way they did it was by letting me go through some things, figure things out on my own. They were teaching me to develop grit.
That's right.
Because you know what? They knew I was going to need that for the rest of my life. And when I look at it, and I look at the word grit, from the perspective of a follower of Jesus, it's basically the same thing as faithfulness.
Yeah, that's right.
Being steadfast, not giving up when things get hard,
right.
Finishing what you start, not giving up until breakthrough comes.
Yeah, that's good.
And y'all, as Christians, our walk is going to require some grit.
Yes,
it's going to require some grit. You know, last week, Pastor Bob talked about dreams. And I know that all of us, it don't matter where you came from, all of us at some point in our lives have had a dream, right? Something that you wanted to accomplish, maybe achieve or obtain. And some of us are still working on those dreams right now. But look, even if you have given up on your dream, buried it so deep in your heart that you don't even want to think about it anymore, let me just encourage you today. Let me just ask you to let's stir up your faith a little bit. Get your dream back. Get your dream back. Don't be giving up on it. If God gave you a dream, and this is how you're going to know it's from God. Okay, first of all, it's going to line up with all of his word, the full counsel of the Bible, not what you want it to say in a particular situation. So you sought a scripture out to prove it. No, it's going to line up with the whole Bible. It's going to bless you and it's going to bless others.
That's right.
And if you've been tempted to give up on that dream, friend, you got to shake that off. You got to shake it off. You got to be like the Apostle Paul when that snake bit him on the hand. What did he do? He shook it off and kept on going. Because you know what? Here's the deal. If you ever, ever hope for one day your dreams to come to fruition, or even if you want to grow in your walk with Jesus, that's going to require faithfulness on your part.
Right.
Look, God is faithful. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. But we have to stay faithful while we are waiting on him. Be faithful with the little things God's already given you while you're waiting on the big dream. Every single opportunity, every single open door, everything that God gives you, steward that well. Steward that well. You know, Matthew 25:21 says that when we're faithful with the little things God gives us, then he'll give us the big things. Because God rewards faithfulness. And you know, faithful is really just another word for steadfast. It means you're not going to let things get you off focus. You're going to stay the course and finish well. You know, since I was in grade school, since I was a little kid, I had a dream of going to college and getting a college degree. So I worked hard all through school. Well, I kind of worked hard through school. But I worked through school. I kept my grades up. I actually graduated high school with honors, if you can believe that. And I got accepted at the University of Texas in Austin. That was not an easy thing to do, y'all. And in May of 1981, after I graduated, I headed to Austin and started my college journey. But party happened and life happened. I got sidetracked and I ended up dropping out of UT. But I never gave up on my dream, y'all. In January of 1990, I was pregnant with my second daughter. I enrolled in Houston Community College and I started working on that dream again, y'all. And it was funny because I'd been out of school so long. Remember, I graduated with honors. I was a little smart. But I'd been out so long, I had to take 2 levels of remedial math just to be able to start college algebra. But you know what? I did it. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. 1 class at a time, 1 semester at a time. And then I was getting going, getting the momentum going. I had to stop again. I had my 3rd child. But let me tell you something. As soon as she was old enough to put in the nursery, I went right back to school. And I picked back up on my dream. You know, it was harder then, y'all. We were poor. I had to work at night cleaning offices. And I went to school full-time during the day. Going, rocking and rolling. And then guess what? Something happened again. And it forced me to switch gears once again. I went through a divorce. And I ended up being a single mom. So instead of going to school full-time, I had to work full-time. So then I had to flip it and go to school part-time at night and on Saturdays. By then, there was so much on my plate. All my girls were in baseball, softball, doing all kinds of things. There were so many things going on that I had to be very, very disciplined in my study time. That's when I started getting up at 3:30 in the morning to study so I could let that go at 6 and start getting them ready for school and go to work. But I didn't give up, y'all. It was hard, but I didn't give up. You know what? The enemy was throwing curveballs at me left and right, but I just kept on swinging and rounding the bases. You would have think I had a little Jose Altuve in me. Yeah. Tell you something. Ghost Rose. Anyway, so August 2022, 21 years after I started college, I received my degree with honors. I achieved, finally, the very thing that I had dreamed about since I was a little girl. Grit, faithfulness, and God. That's what got me through college. I think about my marriage. Y'all have no idea. Pastor Bob and I have had to deal with some wild things in the almost 20 years we've been together. Y'all think it's all cupcakes and rainbows? Nope. We've had to deal with wild stuff. First of all, we had to deal with baby mama drama. Then we had these, my in-laws all up in my business like they paid rent. Okay? Then we had, 4 or 5, I don't even know how many of them were teenagers at one time and all of that shenanigans going on. Getting calls in the middle of the night from the cops. Come get me out of jail, Mom. No, you're going to stay there and learn some things. I did. I left them in there, y'all. But there was all sorts of division that the enemy was trying to bring into our marriage. But God had given us a dream. And there was no way we were going to let the devil take from us the dream that God had given us. God and grit. That's why me and Pastor Bob are here together right now. Let me tell you something. Your walk with Christ is going to be a lot like that. You got to develop some grit. And today I want to tell you what I mean by grit. Grace, resilience, integrity, and teachability. Y'all might want to write that down. Snap a picture. That's important. Grace, resilience, integrity, and teachability. But let's start with grace. So in this life, how many of you know you're going to make a mistake, right? You're going to make mistakes. And there are going to be people in your life that are going to make mistakes too, like your spouse, your children, your boss, your pastor. And we all need to receive grace. We need grace. We all need to receive it. And we need to give it. We need to give grace. You know, I'm a businesswoman. And when I'm in the middle of negotiations on a deal, I am very matter of fact. I don't bring emotions into the equation. So let me tell you something. Nothing will kill a good deal like emotions. I leave that off the table. There's no room for that. But I'm not just a businesswoman, y'all. I'm a pastor. And I have to remember to check my business self at that door when I'm serving you all as your pastor. Because if I don't, I might say things in a short, matter-of-fact way. Some of y'all might get a little offended by that. But just so you know, I'm not saying I'm one way here and one way there. No. What I'm saying is I treat people the same, whether it's in business or whether it's church or whether it's at the grocery store. But the thing is, with y'all in here, I need to show a little more emotion. And sometimes when I'm weak, remember, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Temptation comes at us when we're weak, when we're sick, or we're tired, or we're hungry, or hangry. And when I'm weak, I'm more easily tempted. So there will be times that I'm going to come in this door during the week. I've been working all day. I'm tired, might be a little hungry. I got to watch myself, y'all, because I'm weak. And if I'm not careful, I'll be tempted to be short, sweet, and to the point with some of y'all. You might ruffle a little your feathers. You might think I'm mad. But Sunday mornings, I'm good. I'm good. I've had all Saturday afternoon and evening to just rest, to prepare my heart and my mind to be able to serve y'all well. Let me just say this. There's a reason that you really can't find us on Saturday, me and Pastor Bob. It's because we're laying low. We're getting quiet before the Lord. We're allowing God to just pour into our hearts, and we're resting. We're resting. Because we need to be able to come in here on Sunday emotionally, spiritually, and physically prepared to pour into you guys. Amen. Amen. But if I'm here on a weeknight, I can assure you I came straight from work and God only knows what I've had to deal with in the day. So I'm going to need some grace. Give me a little grace. If I answer you quick or I'm too matter of fact, don't let the enemy get in your head and start making you feel offended or mad or anything like that. Just give me some grace, because we all need grace. Amen. Let me tell you the reason why we need grace. It's because God's grace empowers us. It empowers us to overlook some things. And not only that, but it empowers us to get through some things. How many times have you gone through something and you're sitting there going, I don't know how in the world I got through that? Yes. That's God's grace. Yes. That's God's grace. Look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. This is what it says. My grace is sufficient for you. For my power, talking about God's power, is made perfect in your weakness. This is flat out God saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And it goes even further and says that when we're powerless, when we don't have all the answers, when we don't have it all figured out, when we don't know what to do, if we lean on God to direct us and guide us, that's when God's power, his mighty power, shows up and helps us deal with whatever we're facing. You know, it's just like that song the kids sing, Jesus Loves Me. What does it say in one of those lines? I am weak, but he is strong. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Man, be thankful for the grace of God. We all need it. You need to receive it and you need to give it. The next thing we need is resilience. You know, the Webster defines resilience as the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties. It's toughness. So basically, says resilience is developed through difficulties. And when I look back, I'm thankful that my parents allowed me to go through some stuff. They were trying to toughen me up to help build resilience in me. Moms, dads, I'm about to get in your business. You need to do that for your children as well. There are too many people in this world around us fighting mad, divided, because nobody wants to sit there and listen to someone else's perspective because they're too busy getting their feelings hurt. They need resilience, grit. If you keep solving your problems for your child, trying to shield them or protect them from ever having to face difficult situations, you're basically keeping them from going through difficult things. So when they're grown, they're not going to know how to function as an adult. The Bible says children are a gift from the Lord. So God fully expects us to steward our gifts well. Right? And that means we got to teach them babies. Teach them. Train them. Prepare them for life. Prepare them to be an adult who can face opposition, not get weird, and actually function in the world. And parents, let me tell you, there are some lessons that your children are only going to learn experientially. They got to go through some stuff. Remember, resilience is only built through difficulties. And life is going to bring difficulties. So your children need resilience. And so do we. In Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about how we're going to face troubles and struggles and difficulties. But look at what he says in verse 37, Romans 8, 37. Paul tells us that we are more than conquerors through Jesus. Think about that. To be a conqueror, that means you had to have been in some fights, right? You don't just poof one day, I'm going to grow up and be a conqueror. No, you got to battle some stuff. And when you're a conqueror, it's because you didn't run from your fights and your battles. You stood your ground, you put your trust in Jesus, and you fought back against the enemy. Against temptation to quit, to give in, to stay in the cycle of whatever you've been doing instead of leaning on Jesus. Y'all, temptation is an enemy. And your temptation might look different from mine. But it all comes from the same source, and that is straight from the pit of hell. Temptation is meant to get you so far away from God, so you need some resilience to push back. Galatians 6:9 tells us, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of time, at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up. The Apostle Paul is saying there's going to come a time when you're going to be tired. You're going to want to quit. You're going to want to quit doing the right thing. Quit living your life for God. And he's encouraging us to be resilient. Not to give up, but stay the course because it's worth it. The payoff, the harvest, is coming. It's coming. When you keep standing on God's way of doing things, no matter what it costs, you will see a harvest in your life, friend. And I was talking with someone the other day, and she was telling me how the people at her job are just so ungodly, like running morals and stuff. She was saying that even one of her big bosses was trying to get a little too friendly with her. He knows she's married. He's trying to get a little too friendly, and she had to nip that in the bud and shut it down real fast. And that's a hard position to be in, y'all. This person has the power to destroy her career. She wasn't worried about that. You know why? Because she's been through some things that only the grace of God got her through. Amen. She knows the power of God's grace. And she knows it's covering her like a shield. And she's also got resilience. This ain't her first rodeo against the devil. She knows the enemy can try to mess with her all he wants. But he's not going to take her out. Keep doing the right thing, even when it's hard, y'all. Keep pushing back against the enemy, against his temptation, and keep following Jesus. You're building resilience when you do that, and the harvest is coming. It's coming. You got to remember, anything worth having is going to require sacrifice. So in order to have resilience, you're going to have to sacrifice momentary comfort. And you're going to have to stay in the battle. If you're having to battle just to keep following Jesus, let me just encourage you, friend, you got to keep fighting. Be willing to do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes, short of sin, to fight back against the enemy of your soul.
Yes.
Sacrifice your momentary comfort so that you can build some resilience.
Amen.
You got to do it. You got to stay in the fight. You know, maybe you're in a work environment and it's leading you to compromise. You need to get out. I don't know. Maybe you need to set some boundaries with some friends, maybe even family. They're trying to get you away from God. Maybe you set those boundaries to protect what God's given you. You may have to sacrifice being in a relationship that isn't honoring God, or a relationship that's in direct opposition to the Word of God. Friend, maybe you got some things you need to drop. Let them go. But remember, when you do that, you've made room now to receive the harvest that Galatians 6 is referring to. And I know it's hard to do sometimes. I'm not sitting up here telling you it's going to be easy. I have been there. I have literally been there. But be encouraged, because you know what? Matthew 19:29, in Matthew, Jesus is telling us that if you're willing to give up anything for his sake and follow him with your whole life, God's going to give you 100 times what you let go of. And you will have eternal life with God. Eternal life with God. That's a big deal. Growing in your journey with God requires resilience. Start wherever you are. Just start there. Start wherever you are. Do the right thing, even when it's hard, and do it one decision, one choice, one situation at a time. And when you do that over time, you grow spiritually. You develop patience. You get some joy in your life. You're able to love more freely because you're not wrapped up in the past. You're able to love more generously. And then you learn to let go of things a little quicker. You're changing on the inside. And your life is better. It's richer. And that is the harvest. Look at what the writer of Hebrews said. And it's actually Hebrews 12:11. This is what it says. No discipline is fun while it lasts. It seems painful at the time. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Righteousness, y'all, is just right standing with God. And it yields that fruit when you're trained by it. Discipline is a form of training. Discipleship is a form of training. When you give your life to Jesus, you become a disciple, which means you're in training camp with Jesus. He's training you by the Word of God. Look, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and all the others who walked with Jesus, they went through the same process of discipline, and they had to build up some resilience along the way. It was part of their spiritual growth, their training. And just like they went through some stuff, we're going to face some stuff. So we need resilience. We need grit, grace, resilience, and the next thing we need is integrity. I've heard it said that if you have integrity, nothing else matters. And if you don't have integrity, nothing else matters. Integrity simply means whole, without compromise. You are not fractured. There ain't no half truth, half done, half saved. That's not a thing, y'all. But no half nothing. It's whole. There's no compromise. Let me ask you this. Have you ever stopped to think that 99.9% truth is still a lie? Yeah. Ooh, and that's why people who tell 99.9% of the truth, or less than that, are considered to not have any integrity. It's a lie. The same thing is true for people who say something, but their actions don't line up with their mouth. That's a lack of integrity. Both of those are lies. And you know what? The devil loves a lie. He loves a lie. That is his native language. That is the language he speaks, the language of lies. And he loves it because he knows when we're doing that, we've compromised. There's no integrity. We're fractured. It's the same thing when we do things halfway. There's no integrity when you don't finish what you start. Think about it. We start off strong, and somewhere in the middle, you get tired. It's too much work to finish it all. So what happens? Cut corners. Then you try to present a half-done job as complete. I mean, nobody's going to notice, right? If any of this is sounding familiar, first, I don't want you to feel horrible. But if you're struggling in these areas, I do want you to allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. Because it's the only way that we're ever going to be able to come up higher. And sometimes our problem is we overcommit. Our hearts are good. Our hearts are right. We just overcommit. In Luke 14:28, Jesus says that if you're going to do something, you need to sit down first and you need to see what it's going to cost you. If you're not going to be able to finish something, then don't start. Don't commit to doing it. But if you have to do something, then do it right and do it completely. That means you're going to have to learn to say no to some other things because they might be distracting you. Put your phone down. Get off the couch. Get off the internet. Stop all that office chit-chat and get back to work. Do whatever you're doing. Do whatever you have to have integrity in every part of your life. You know, years ago, I worked in cardiovascular and transplant surgery, and there was zero margin for error or someone would die. What if you did everything with a zero margin of error, y'all? I'm not saying you have to be perfect. I'm just saying, what if you did everything to the best of your ability? You know what you're capable of. What if you just gave it all that you had? For example, you washing dishes, get all the grease off. My gosh, when my girls were young, I'd tell them, it's your turn, Grace, to wash the dishes. There'd be grease on them dishes. Letty was the worst. I'm just going to say it right there. She'd be like, good, done. If you're washing dishes, get the grease off. If you're fabricating windows, make sure all your measurements are right. If you're mopping the floors, sweep first. Do it right. You know, there's this guy, and he works for the trash company that picks up in our neighborhood. I don't know who he is, but I can tell you one thing. I think that's a man of integrity. You know what he does? If something falls out of the can when he's dumping it in the back of the truck, he'll stop what he's doing and go pick it up. Throw it back in the truck. Drivers will keep on rolling. He don't care. He'll chase back after the truck. He'll still stop what he's doing and pick up anything that fell out of the can. Then he'll go catch up with the truck. He's doing his job to the best of his ability. That's integrity. That's integrity. He doesn't have to do that. Somebody complained, he could just say, oh man, the wind blew it, or come up with a myriad of other excuses. But instead of all that, he just does his job to the best of his ability, and he moves on. He's got integrity. Look at Colossians 3:23. Look at what it says. Did y'all bring y'all's Bibles today? Mm-hmm. Need a paper Bible. Internet goes down, you need a paper Bible. Colossians 3:23-24 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Or not for your boss. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It's the Lord Christ that you're working for. You're serving. It might be tempted. It might be very tempting to cut corners on some things. Maybe fudge the numbers here and there. But would you do that if you were working for God? Because you are. Integrity. It's part of what it means to have grit. Grace, resilience, integrity, and teachability. Look at Proverbs 13:10. This is a message version. When I saw the message version, I was like, oh, here we go. This is what it says. Arrogant know-it-alls stir up discord, but wise men and women listen to each other's counsel. You ever been around a know-it-all? You know who they are. You can't tell them nothing. They know it all. They could be so obviously wrong, but they're going to give you 1,000 reasons why they're right. You try to give them feedback, they don't want to hear it. And if you try to explain maybe where you're coming from and they might want to consider changing some things, then what happens? They get defensive, they get angry. And the next thing you know, there's an argument. Discord. And this is why the Bible warns us against being like that, being unteachable, because that leads to discord, which leads to strife, which leads to division, rebellion, and all sorts of other things that provide an open door for the devil to come in and bring destruction into your life.
That's right.
Sometimes people look at the Bible as, oh, it's a bunch of, I can't do this. Why would you do that? Because it's an open door for the devil to mess with you. You know, I've seen relationships, marriages, God-ordained marriages destroyed because one person wasn't willing to even consider that they might need to change some things. They might be wrong about a thing or two. And that's what it looks like when someone doesn't have a teachable spirit. Let me tell you something. That kind of attitude, that's a red flashing light that there's pride operating in the heart. And that's dangerous. James 4:6 tells us that God opposes the proud. Whoa. Do you know what that means? It means when we're not teachable, we're operating out of a spirit of pride. And God's not about that. What will happen is he'll lift his hand of blessing on your life. He's going to lift his covering and his protection on your life. This is why we must remain teachable. If you're ever going to be able to fulfill all of God's purposes for your life, if you're ever even going to be able to live in victory, the victory that Jesus died to give you, you have to be teachable. You don't have to be perfect. I'm not saying that. It's not about perfection. Perfection is not going to cut it, because actually none of us can be perfect, but we can absolutely be teachable. And that's what God wants. That's all he wants. Teachable means this. It means you're willing to learn, to be corrected without being defensive, and that you can learn from anyone at any point. My granddaughter, my 11-year-old granddaughter, can teach me a thing or two. She's actually called me on some stuff before. I'm like, oh, okay, honey. But if you want to develop grit in your life, you have to be teachable. And that's going to require humility, y'all. Can't just sit in our own opinions, our own beliefs, and never be willing to change some things. See, here's the deal. God's always moving forward. He doesn't change, but he does keep moving. So you can't let pride get you stuck behind. And pride says things like, oh, I hear you, but, and here goes an excuse. Or this is why. Sometimes people call excuses reasons. That ain't no reason. That's an excuse. You don't want to change. And that will cause strife in your life. It'll cause it in your relationships. And now you got God opposing you. And don't think for one second that wasn't the devil's plan all along, y'all.
That's true. Yeah. That's right,
he knows that if he can trick us into thinking God's okay with our disobedience, he knows we're on our own. Remember, the devil is a Bible scholar. He knows it through and through. He just don't obey it. So he knows how to trick us. And when you think, you get tricked into thinking that your continued disobedience is okay, he knows you just left the door wide open for him to just come right into your life and wreak havoc. Let me give an example of that. If you've been dealing with stuff and it just seems like one thing after another just keeps coming up, one problem after another, ask yourself this. Is there an open door for the enemy in my life? It's going to require some introspection, some sitting quiet before the Lord and letting him speak to you. Are you doing something that you know is against the word of God? And in your pride, you have no intention of changing, getting back in alignment with God. Brandon, will you come? I'm going to wrap it up, y'all. I know it's been a little hard. But you know what? Maybe that didn't occur to you before. Okay. Now you know. Just stay teachable. Let God's word transform you. Let it change you. Let it break off pride, strife, offense, whatever it is that's coming between you and God. Y'all, it takes grit to do anything in this world nowadays. There are so many things that oppose us, especially if you're trying to live your life for God. But you know what? We can be encouraged, because as followers of Jesus, we have the grace of God that helps us not give up. We're not going to give up. We're going to keep developing the grit that we need to be in this world, but not of this world. And we do that by letting the grace of God cover us. You do what you can do, and then let God take over from there. And we're going to give others grace because they need it too. Instead of running from difficulties, friend, just lean on God. Lean on God and face your problems head on. Because you know what? When you allow Jesus to walk you through some things, you're building resistance, resilience. And that resilience will help you walk in integrity in every area of your life. Because you're going to be able to push back against the temptation to compromise. You're not going to let the enemy trick you into mediocrity. You're going to do your best. You're going to give your best. You're going to be your best in every area of your life, because you know now that everything you're doing for God. And then let's stay teachable. Don't let pride keep you from learning some things, from letting God teach you and shape you into who He created you to be. Grit, grace, resilience, integrity, teachability. Those four things. That's what we need to battle the forces of darkness that are coming against us. And they're coming against you. And grit. Oh, grit is so powerful. It's going to help us grow into living, walking testimonies to the goodness of God, to His mercy, and to His love. And that's the whole point. To be able to live a life of victory in Christ, so that we are able to lead others to that same goodness you found in Jesus. Amen. Will you bow your heads, please? Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your presence. You never leave us, Lord. But I thank You for Your presence today in Your house. God, You called us to worship. We answered the call, and I thank You, Lord. Thank You for loving us so much that You called us in. Lord, help us develop grit in our lives. Give us eyes to see any pride operating in our hearts. Give us ears to hear what You're telling us through Your word, through others. And then give us hearts to receive correction and guidance from You, Lord. We love You so much, and we know that we need You. And we thank You that You love us so much. You never leave us. You never forsake us. You do what You say You're going to do. And Father, You sent Your Son Jesus to help us live the life You created us to have. Thank You, Lord, for that. I pray, Father, that this word will sink down in our hearts, Father God, that the soil is fertile. So this seed that's being planted today will take root and grow, and that we'll be able to have some resilience, some grace in our lives, some integrity, and we'll remain teachable, Lord, to be able to be transformed into Your likeness and lead others to You. Thank You, God, for all that You've done for us. We love You, and we bless Your holy name in the name of Your beautiful Son, the one You sent to save us, Jesus Christ. Let's just stay in this moment right now. I know that there are people here today, and you've been struggling with some things. I know that there are some things that you know God is showing you got to let go. Friend, I want you to know, if you belong to Jesus, God's going to help you with that. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He's not going to do things for you, because that wouldn't do you any good. But He will help you do what He's called you to do. And if you need to let go of some relationships because they're not honoring God, friend, I want to encourage you, lean on Jesus. Lean on Jesus. Ask Him to help you. God is so good. He promises that there's nothing we're going to give up for Him that He won't give us 100 times more. And when you do that, when you do everything you can to follow God and to be obedient, you get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But it's going to require a decision, y'all. It requires a decision. A decision to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. And what that means is you are surrendering your way of doing things. You're surrendering to Jesus. And you're telling Him, God, here you go. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe He's Your Son, and I believe that He's going to transform me. He's going to change me. He's going to help me walk the way I'm supposed to. And if you've never made that decision before, maybe you made it in the past and you kind of got a little far off from it, Today's the day of salvation. Today you get a chance. All you got to do, pray a simple prayer, mean it with your whole heart, and then let God transform you. If you already made a decision for Jesus, if you'll just pray this after me to kind of encourage people who are making a decision, this is what you pray. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.